A man who ordered ballots in the names of some high-profile Wisconsin politicians has been found guilty of election fraud. It's Wednesday, March 25th, and this is Wisconsin Today Morning News. Good morning, I'm Alex Crow. Coming up on the show today, Wisconsin voters will choose a new state Supreme Court justice next month, and a new survey shows one side is a bit more enthusiastic than the other. And we'll hear about a small Wisconsin community with a decades-long reputation for being a speed trap. Stay with us.
Hi there, it's Rachel Martin from NPR News. I am proud to work with stations around the country, including WPR, to bring you news that you can trust. We search out the backstory, give voice to the diversity of our nation, question along with you, and share moments of beauty, moments of joy. This comprehensive reporting is possible thanks to listener contributions. Be a part of this important work when you give at WPR.org. Thanks.
A man who admitted to requesting absentee ballots that were not in his name has been found guilty on three of four charges. A Racine County jury found 71-year-old Harry Waite guilty last night on two charges of election fraud and one charge of identity theft. Waite admitted to prosecutors that he went to Wisconsin's myvote.wi.gov website and requested ballots for Republican Assembly Speaker Robin Voss and Democratic Racine Mayor Corey Mason. Waite says he did so because he wanted to expose a flaw in the system. Prosecutors, though, say he did it to gain attention. Waite said after the ruling, quote, "I put the jurors in a very hard spot because I admitted I ordered the two ballots and I admitted I was not Robin Voss or Corey Mason. I wanted to test the system," end quote. A sentencing date has not been set yet. There are now less than 2 weeks until Wisconsin's April Supreme Court election. Rich Kramer reports a new poll shows Democrats are far more enthusiastic about voting this time around than Republicans.
The Marquette University Law School survey of 850 registered voters shows 23% of respondents say they'll vote for Liberal Appeals Court Judge Chris Taylor. 17% say they'll vote for Conservative Appeals Court Judge Maria Lazar. Most are still undecided. But Marquette pollster Charles Franklin says across three different metrics, Democrats have a consistent enthusiasm advantage.
65% say the election to the court is very important to them. Only 46% of Republicans and only 24% of independents say that.
Franklin said only 12% of those surveyed on the court race say they've heard a lot about it. He called that stunningly low compared to the same time last year when nearly 40% said they'd heard a lot about the 2025 court race. Rich Kramer, Wisconsin Public Radio.
A bill that Governor Tony Evers signed into law this week will increase state funding for administering food assistance in Wisconsin. But as Anya Van Wagtendonk reports, it also includes a Republican priority that aligns with the Make America Healthy Again movement.
The State Department of Health, which administers Wisconsin's food share program, known nationally as SNAP, said it needed just over $70 million. Evers argued that investment would save the state hundreds of millions later. The bill that released that money passed with bipartisan support in the legislature, and it also included a ban on candy and soda. That was after a big push from Republicans. That ban has anti-hunger advocates concerned, like William Park Sutherland of Kids Forward. He said the ban makes the whole program more complex.
Why is one energy bar an energy bar and the other bar a candy bar? That's not that easy to suss out.
It's not immediately clear how long it will take before that ban takes effect. Anya Van Wagtendonk, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Cleanup is ongoing after a Jefferson County egg farm spilled thousands of gallons of wastewater amid an outbreak of bird flu. As Danielle Kading reports, the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources first reported this spill.
The DNR first became aware of the spill through a complaint to a conservation warden. Daybreak Foods told the agency that an employee improperly discharged up to 4,200 gallons of wastewater from its Cold Spring egg farm in Jefferson County. Samples collected from a nearby ditch and creek tested positive for bird flu just one day after the reported outbreak last month. The DNR's James Salscheider says follow-up samples have so far been negative for the virus.
We've been working with the facility on remediation plan, which I believe has gone into effect. The farm proposed to scrape the impacted sediment located on the north side of the production site.
The president and CEO of Daybreak Foods told lawmakers earlier this month that the company had fired the employee and it's going to learn from the incident to prevent future spills. Danielle Kading, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Roundy's Supermarkets is being sued by the federal government for firing a nursing mother after refusing her request to keep a water bottle at her workstation. A lawsuit filed this week by the United States Equal Employment Opportunity Commission says the former employee worked at a Metro Market store in Shorewood Hills in 2024. It says she asked management if she could have a water bottle at work so she could stay hydrated to help maintain her breast milk supply. But the lawsuit says the store manager denied that request. She was later suspended, then fired after being seen with a water bottle near her workstation in the bakery, according to the lawsuit. The EEOC says the company violated the Pregnant Workers Fairness Act by refusing to accommodate her needs. A spokesperson for Roundy's did not immediately respond to a request for comment. It's been a long saga for community members who have been pushing to restore fluoride in the water in the village of DeForest. After a motion to reintroduce the mineral failed last week, fluoride supporters are now turning their focus to a local election being held next month. Sarah Lear reports.
Last year, DeForest trustees narrowly voted to stop adding fluoride to that village's water supply. Since then, one anti-fluoride trustee resigned, and another was ousted in a recall election. That political shift gave a boost to people like Chris McDonald, who sought to bring back the fluoride as a way to protect against tooth decay. McDonald lives in the nearby village of Windsor, and he was disappointed when a recent motion to reintroduce fluoride failed with a 3-3 vote from DeForest trustees.
It just feels like the board kind of ripped open the wound again from something that was healing.
Still, McDonald says the fight to restore fluoride is not over. He's hopeful that voters will choose a pro-fluoride majority on April 7th. Sarah Lear, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Just ahead of spring planting, Wisconsin farmers are once again facing market uncertainty due to the war in Iran. The war has halted shipments of fertilizer from Gulf countries, leading to a spike in prices and concerns about availability. Kevin Bernhardt is an agribusiness professor at the University of Wisconsin-Platteville. He says most farmers have already purchased their fertilizer for this year's crop, but many don't actually have the product on their farm.
Even though they paid for it, they're still at risk potentially to not have the actual product when they need it.
Bernhardt says many farms also pre-buy their fuel for planting, protecting them from the recent spike in oil and gas prices. But he says producers will feel higher costs when it comes to shipping products to and from the farm, and they could especially be hurt if prices remain high heading into harvest this fall. Coming up, we'll hear about a Wisconsin community that's become notorious for handing out speeding tickets. See if you know who I'm talking about. Stay with us.
I'm Rachel Lohman. I own Analog Ice Cream and Coffee in Sister Bay. WPR sponsorship has been beneficial for my business because the audience supports business sponsors. The very first day my sponsorship aired, I had a customer come in and say, "Hey, I heard you on WPR this morning. Thanks." The WPR audience has been truly loyal to me as a business sponsor.
Learn more about business sponsorship at WPR.org/sponsor.
And finally, it's time for Wisconsin Life. This one sounds familiar to me. Anyone who's traveled from Green Bay to Madison for a Badgers game or from Madison to Green Bay for a Packers game has likely driven through the village of Rosendale. WPR's Joe Schultz brings us this story about the small town of about 1,000 people that has a decades-long reputation for being a speed trap.
Rows of colorful t-shirts are stacked on a shelf at Blumke's Food Mart in Rosendale. They read, "Rosendale, just the ticket," with a picture of a police car. Emma Jean Westfall owns the store with her family. She says the store has been selling the shirts since the 1990s.
You have something good and you say, "Hey, this is just the ticket." And so what it says on them is Rosendale, just the ticket. But then the negative part is that there's a police car on the t-shirt. So that gives you the idea, okay, you got a ticket.
Now, Westfall says it's one of the store's better selling t-shirts.
Usually the person who gets the ticket doesn't buy it. Somebody buys it as a joke and gives it to them and go, "Ha ha, you got a ticket."
Well, the shirts are a moneymaker. She says she doesn't agree with the idea that Rosendale is a speed trap. Rosendale Police Chief Anthony Liebenau also disagrees with the reputation. He says the town sees between 15 to 16,000 vehicles come through a day. State Highway 26 connects US 151 and I-41. It goes right through the town's main street and past a school.
The reason we stop for the speeds is for the safety of the schools, the residents, and even other drivers that are on the road. The data that we have shows that the average speed of these vehicles are 47.5 miles per hour in a posted 30 mile per hour zone.
But for those who have been pulled over in Rosendale, the experience sticks with them. Stoughton resident Levi Fonce received a speeding ticket in 2021.
As I was going through, I knew Rosendale was a speeding trap and usually was pretty careful. That day, I was less careful.
He says he was driving from Whitewater to Green Bay to visit his parents on his birthday.
I was secretly hoping he'd let me off easy since it was my birthday, but he didn't, which, you know, fair enough. Not like get a free crime on your birthday or anything.
Sun Prairie resident Greg Femel was ticketed in Rosendale over a decade ago.
Moral of the story is you just watch your speed. You don't exceed whatever the posted speed is, and you don't accelerate until you're totally out of Rosendale.
And fellow Sun Prairie resident Angie Nichols got a ticket in 2008.
All these years later, I never drive through Rosendale. I will not. I always go around it. Always, always, always.
All three admitted to exceeding the speed limit by about 10 miles per hour. Rosendale Village Board President Kurt Karamanidis says he feels the community's reputation as a speed trap is unfair. He says it's important for law enforcement to take speeding seriously.
People really like the fact that it keeps kids safer and just residents safer. You're walking your dog, you know, whatever the case may be, backing out on the highway. You don't want people going 40, 50 miles an hour.
Many people across the state have their own stories about being pulled over in Rosendale. But Emma Jean Westfall, the convenience store owner, says she wishes the community was known for its good schools and peonies.
Way back, Governor Knowles declared Rosendale as the peony capital of Wisconsin. So I'd kind of like it to be known for peonies rather than speeding tickets.
Our thanks to WPR's Joe Schultz for bringing us that story about Rosendale, Wisconsin. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with Wisconsin Humanities. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. And of course, we'll end the podcast with a quick check of your forecast. Warmer than usual today, highs in the 50s and 60s, pretty nice out. However, flood warnings along the Yellow River in Juneau County and along the Black River in La Crosse and Tremplo counties today. Overnight, could see some light rain in the north, otherwise just cloudy, with lows in the 30s and 40s. And that'll do it for this Wednesday. Glad you could join us. A lot of news happening. Thanks for being here for Wisconsin Today Morning News. I'm your host, Alex Crow. Have a great rest of your day. We'll talk to you again soon.